Might be the hardest position in football to accurately evaluate, maybe the one people miss the most on. It is safety here on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, everybody. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day each and every day. You can find the show on YouTube. You can find it wherever you listen to audio podcasts. You can even find it on Amazon Fire or Roku. Just download the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Today is the next in this installment in this series of how to scout videos that I'm doing, or how to scout podcast episodes that I'm doing, which is because I'm out of town all week, so these are all pre-recorded. So if there's any major seismic news you were looking forward to hearing about, I apologize. I will get back to it on Monday, next Monday. For now, we're doing this, that I'm recording this well beforehand, so we will talk about it later. Today is safety day. And I really wanted to do safety, even though a lot of it overlaps with cornerback, which we talked about on Monday. We also did wide receiver and running back. We'll do quarterbacks tomorrow. But I really wanted to do safety on its own because I get so annoyed with the way that people talk about safeties, because it happens all the time where you'll see a long pass get completed, big catch, and you'll see the safety coming in off, flying in off screen just a few steps late, and then they'll come in and make the player make the tackle or something. And everybody goes, where was that safety? What was he doing so late? Why couldn't he break on the ball? And you have no idea where he was coming from. You have no idea what his assignment was. You have no idea where his eyes were supposed to be or what he was supposed to be even responsible for. I've seen people blame Harrison Smith for catches that were made on the opposite sideline when he's on the other side, like on the numbers. And he was flying across, and it's insane that he was even close to the play, but you couldn't expect him to make it. And that has to be like the crux of safety evaluation. When you're looking at safety, you have to sort of every play say, okay, what's reasonable to expect from a safety here? What spacing is he's, when do I think he should be able to get there? And if you're not doing that, and you just cannot do it on TV, any opinion you get about a safety's play on TV, unless the broadcast is highlighting it enough to show you like a lot of reps, any safety opinion that you have from just watching TV is like probably awful. I'm sorry. and that's not your fault. That's, you just can't see what you need to see to do it. And the other thing about safeties is when you're watching tape of safeties, there are so many, it's really hard. And this makes me wrong all the time. This is a problem I have. There are so many plays where they just kind of hit a landmark and then it's like something else happens and they just sort of jog near the play and that was like it, where they don't do anything. That it always feels like I'm evaluating safeties on too few of plays where there's like a sample size issue. And it's just something you have to be a little bit careful about. But we can still glean some stuff from those plays. We can look at their technique, decide if we like it, decide, okay, how set up are they to respond to things? What are they reading? And understand their role, right? So let's go into safeties. And I guess the first thing is, again, similar to cornerback, you got to know coverages at least a little. I don't need you to memorize an entire playbook, right? That's, we're fans here. We're not coaches. And I should probably mention, I'm not a coach. I'm not a player. I'm just a dude that likes this, just a nerd that likes it. I'm a fan of the sport. And so my word here is not law. I am just sharing with you what I do and the way I value things and the way that I parse things out. But hey, if you are a DB coach or if you're a person who played and you have something that you think you could teach me, I'm all ears. I would love to hear that kind of stuff. I'm always looking to learn more. But if, you know, some DB person comes out and says, yeah, don't listen to this kid, he said something really wrong, go with that guy. But you need to know, I think, generally the structure of what safeties are doing. you don't need to know the specifics of what a tough call and or what pushing it. You don't need to know all that crap, what under call, blah, blah, blah. But I think you need to understand the basics. And it starts with, where is this safety lining up? And I don't chart it. You probably could, and it would be very informative, but I don't really bother to like tally up exactly how many. But okay, do they line up in the box a lot? Are they always up high? Are they always the high safety? Are they lining up in man-to-man coverage ever? You know, we saw that with Seen, and that was really valuable, where he would come down and he would just cover a slot receiver and just become a man-to-man cover guy for Georgia. That was, I think, part of what made him a first-rounder. You know, you can look at just the alignment, and it'll tell you at least what that team thinks that he's capable of, right? If he's doing the same thing over and over and over again, that might tell you something. But again, be careful with that, because like with Kyle Hamilton, Notre Dame ran a defense where the safeties were too high every single play, but they would rotate down, they would move around, they would do a big a lot of versatile stuff that just he needed to like cover a lot of space to do it. But the alignment was always the same, and a lot of people mistook that for him only being able to be a half safety when he wasn't at all. They were just kind of mistaking the alignment for the role. So I guess. It's just something to like broadly pay attention to. Where on the field is he? How often is he in the fray in the run game? You know, and how does he do there? Can he stack? Can he shed? All of that stuff. I'm paying attention to that, but it's not going to be the thing that like drives everything for me. I do want to see you stack and shed, but I also understand that you're a defensive back in the run game. If you're going to come up against a guard, you're screwed. I'm not going to expect anything from you there. And if you can get around him, a lot of guys will just be block avoiders. That's what Seen is. And you actually in the preseason when Seen was playing, you saw him do that a lot where he's, you know, a guard's coming at him and he'll just sort of like dive out of the way and be really hard to get your hands on. And then he actually was able to make plays there by neutralizing that blocker. But I guess with the coverage and the basic structures, there's three categories that I want you to understand and know. And the first one is half safety. I'm talking cover two safety. And what you'll see there is this is you it's unmistakable. Whenever the safety is just backpedaling with reckless abandon, they're just getting on the roof and they're getting as high as possible. A lot of people will hold that against the safety. And when you're in cover two, you'll get yelled at if you don't do that. Like that is, you are coached to get on the roof as a half safety. And the point of backpedaling, and I guess this is where I'll talk about backpedaling with half safety. The point of backpedaling for a safety is you want vision. You want to keep as much in front of you as possible so that you don't have to kind of turn your head a whole bunch to survey the entire field. You want everything in front of your eyes all in one big, one big vision range. And so you're backpedaling not only because, you know, you want to have a head start if there's something deep that you're going to be responsible for, but also because you want to be able to see the entire field. And with a half safety, when you break is when the ball is thrown. You're not breaking on stuff or trying to cover things. It's when somebody's in your zone. If there is somebody deep on that half, then you go start to, you want to line up with that guy and play man-to-man techniques on him in most defenses, but it's not always the case. But usually you're looking for the ball to be thrown and then you're breaking on it. What I want technique-wise from a backpedal, I went over this in cornerback too, but I want to see short, choppy steps, and I want to see your shoulders out in front of your knees. That's what I like in a backpedal. In an ideal world. Now, some guys will sit back and their shoulders will be kind of more above their hips when they do a backpedal. That gets them backpedaling faster. And if you just don't have a fast backpedal, that's what you have to do. But that leans so much more of your weight behind you that when it's time to plant and break down field, you're going to be that much slower at it. So ideally, I want your weight kind of out over your knees so that when you want to break forward at something, you know, break on a play or on a run play or something, you're that much more agile at it. But if you got to lean it back a little bit so that you can get the depth that you need, do that. But just know it's suboptimal, and I would love to iron that out eventually, but very nitpicky minor thing. And then when you're actually planting and going, I need to see it be very deliberate. I want a foot back, plant off of it, and go. I don't want to see a million little choppy steps when you're trying to change direction, because that's just wasted motion. I want to see you make a decision, foot in the dirt, push off it, and go. That is, I guess, the half safety part. But there's also when you're playing in the middle, there's also stuff when you're playing in man-to-man that I care about. So we're going to go through all of that. But before I do that, I want to talk to you about a good old Gramble. The basketball tournament's getting down to it, all right? And you can still go to FanDuel and bet who you think is going to cut down that net. FanDuel is also giving new customers a no-sweat first bet, so it's not too late to start your good old Grambling times. You can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 if you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you whiff on that first bet. You can sign up today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. You can wager on everything from basketball scores, money line spreads, three-point shooters. You can bet on hockey games. You can bet on baseball futures. That's coming up. All on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. You can even mash it all together into a big parlay and see if you can't get a better payout. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet. Up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Let me move on. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NFL Scouting, featuring the Draft Dudes. Very exciting thing that we have for those guys, Kyle Crabbs and Joe Marino, taking you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. You can find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you find your podcasts, and of course on YouTube, and that is part of the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Let us move on to some reads. So let's talk about, I think the next one I want to get to is quarters. Or you know what? Quarters is probably the most complicated one. So let's do middle right now, the middle third. And that's cover one or cover three when you're the deep guy, right? And that's a lot like deep half, but you just are kind of in the middle. And it's, again, it's unmistakable. If they are, wherever they line up, if they're angling their drop back toward the middle, backpedaling toward it, maybe even shuffling toward it, and they want it, they need to see the entire field and see it in front of them. And then when the ball is thrown, they break on something. Or when a receiver is clearly running a deep route, they're breaking on it. I don't think that there's a ton that you can glean from middle reps unless they're actually making a play on the ball. But what you do want to see is angles. That's the one where you're going to see the most challenging angles. Because when you're a half safety, that means, you know, you're on one half of the field. So if the ball's on that half of the field, the angle is not going to be that difficult. You're kind of already in front of it. And if it's on the other side of the field, you're probably not getting into that play anyways. So the angle isn't going to be as informative. I think you get the best look at angles when they're in a middle third technique, whether it's cover three or cover one. You know, running play goes in and breaks off down the sideline. How is their angle? That is something that is difficult to teach. And it's, to me, it's an instinct, it's a spacing. It's just kind of like an innate ability that guys kind of have or they don't. But if you take, it's also like a risk thing. It's a Jeopardy game a little bit. It's how steep can you get, you know, what's the highest you can bid without going over? It's like, how steep can you get before you miss the guy? Because in it, you know, if you're just chasing a running back who's running up the sideline and you're coming from middle deep, you know, a deep middle zone, which means you're, you know, 30 yards back. You're going to be way, 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 way back. You have to either take a steep angle. If you were the Flash, you could just teleport to the guy, right? You would run directly at him. But no, you got to run to where you think he's going to be. And if you underestimate that and you go too steep, he's past you, right? And you have to kind of, you'll kind of see them almost like get too deep and then they got to turn around and then suddenly they're chasing the guy. And you're like, how'd you do that? What happened there? That's the disaster, right? If you underestimate it, you're up in front of him and he's going to get a few more yards than he was going to get, but you're at least in front of him, right? And now you can kind of make a play from there. And if you see guys coming in kind of like from directly on top of them, it means they took too conservative of an angle. That's a better mistake to make than taking too aggressive of an angle where you just miss the guy entirely and you've taken yourself out of the play, right? That's what I'm looking at with angles. And it's how good are you at reading that spacing? Do you understand how fast you are? You know, I remember seeing that about Kyle Hamilton, who overestimated how fast he was a lot at Notre Dame. I don't know how it turned out. I didn't watch any Ravens really this year, so I don't know how that turned out. But, you know, how good are you at understanding how much speed you have and how much speed you need to make that play and how much speed he has, too? There's some film study in this as well. You're guessing, you know, a train leaves from Madrid and a train leaves from Barcelona. When do they meet? You're basically doing that math in your head, but at an angle, right? And unless you've got a calculator up there, you're doing that based on instinct. So I'm talking about angles for that, but that's really what I think the most you can get out of like a middle third zone. And I want to see again, you know, how's your drop back? Like how smooth is it? How much depth are you getting versus how hard is it for you to stop getting depth and break on something when it's time to break on it? But I think the most you can learn with safeties in the pass game, I'll get to the run game in a second, but the most you can learn with safeties is in quarters. Or cover four, or if it's just like man coverage. But most defenses in college nowadays are at least somewhat, some part of them uses quarters, whether it's quarters on one half, like the Fangio stuff that the Vikings ran, or whether it's the stuff that Zimmer ran, the Saban, the Georgia stuff, that basically lives in quarter structures. But you see a lot of it in the college game. And that's where I like to evaluate guys the most, because that's where you're actually making reads. A lot of half safety stuff, I guess it depends on the defense and it depends on the college. And you can eventually over time, if you keep at this for years and years, you'll kind of get a familiarity with who runs what. But for the most part, you're looking at what the safety is reading. You want to watch his eyes. I love colleges that have a helmet stripe because you can see like where they're looking. But reads for a safety will often look something like 3-2 or 2-1 or 2-robber. And what that means is if you are unfamiliar with the way that defenses will label wide receivers, there is the one is the outermost guy, the two is the next guy in, the three is the next guy in, and so on. And then on the other side, you know, there's the strong one and the weak one. And then there's a strong two and the weak two, and then three is the running back. Most defenses will use that nomenclature. So with a safety, you'll be reading, if you're the weak side safety, you'll read 2-1. So my job is, or it'll be like 2-1 vertical. So my job is if the two comes vertical, which means if it's a deep route, I'm responsible for it. That's the first thing I'm checking. Is the two running vertical? If the two is not running vertical, chances are the one is running vertical. So if the one is running vertical now, so I'm reading the two vertical to the one vertical. Get it? 2-1 vert. If neither of them go vertical, then you usually have some sort of like baseline assign. Okay, well, then you're just a deep quarter zone. And you just kind of say, all right, so between the numbers and the hash, deep is my responsibility. If anybody ever comes into it, then that's my job. So you want to see them make that read. Now, you don't need to know. You should. It's great if you can understand the coverages and you know exactly what those reads are supposed to be, because sometimes you can catch them going, oop, they read that wrong, or you can better diagnose when stuff goes wrong. But I think, in general, you can probably give safeties the benefit of the doubt that whatever they're reading is what they're supposed to be reading. And what you want to look at is, again, for fans, right? For a D-backs coach or for somebody on a team, you got to, I think, be a little bit more advanced than that. But for us, we don't need to be that crazy. We can just look at, like, are they reading it quickly? Or do they look like they're lost in the sauce a little bit on that? Or do you see a very deliberate, okay, two, not vertical. Now I'm going to the one, right? Or it can be 3-2 if there's three receivers on one side, right? The innermost guy to the next guy out. Or it can be what's called poaching, which is, or like 2-robber, I've seen that called, where, okay, I read something on my side of the field, but if, you know, if it's 3-by-1, this is a very classic check called poaching or tricks is the way the word the Vikings have for it. Or that they had. I don't know what the word is now. The Donatel word for it. But it was, if the, you know, you're on the weak side of 3-by-1, which means there's one receiver on your side. You're on the one side of the 3-by-1, the weak side. And if that guy comes vertical, the safety is responsible for it. But if that guy does not come vertical, let's say he's running a crossing, a shallow something, a hitch, maybe he's a check down. The corner's got that, right? If it's anything that the corner just has on his own, then my eyes go to the strong side and I look for work and I look to rob something. Because typically, when there's three receivers on one side of the field, there's not a lot of room for all those guys to run routes. Somebody is going to come across that side of the field to try to stress my rules, and I, as a safety, am poaching. If you see a college safety poach and get an interception off that, that is absolutely aces. That is so cool when you see that. And I love to see, even if they don't make a play or whatever, but I just love to see, oh, I trust you to make that kind of read, because it shows a safety that's reading like the entire field. You know what I mean? I also want to talk about safeties in the run a little bit and sort of what their responsibilities are, a little bit about athleticism and stuff too. So we will just kind of keep chugging along. This one is it gets very hard because safeties don't always have a job in the run fit, but they do have a job in the run fit a lot because it just eventually they're supposed to be involved. There are kind of two different kinds of run fit generally. The ones that sort of want to spill things to the outside and the ones that want to funnel things to the inside. But either way, the ideal like run defense moment is the one where a running back is sort of having to say no to so many gaps and read and maybe even string across or maybe bounce things outside a whole bunch that the safety can get involved. So you want a safety that is able to either trigger downhill quickly. This is what like Sean does. This is why Sean was a first round pick. Or somebody that like Harrison Smith can be in the box and be helpful. The sickest thing you can get from a safety, I love seeing this from safeties, is when they can be the force player. And in this is sort of what I'm talking about, where it's like you can almost learn as much from safeties from what their team asked them to do than by actually evaluating how they did it. Because so often, you know, what they're asking them to do is like all the information you get because the run goes a different way and you never get to see them actually do anything. But hey, they were going to be the force if that run came, you know, the other way. And maybe, maybe that matters for something. But instead, they're just like chasing a sweep the other way and they never get involved before somebody else makes the play. So the force is the outermost guy that is essentially tasked with cutting off the bounce outside lane. So a lot of times that just means parking yourself upfield and saying, you can't bounce this. You got to cut back. And that's where all our big dogs are, right? If I'm the Georgia safety, I'm cutting it back. Sorry, you have to actually deal with Jalen Carter. But a lot of times, you know, offenses kind of know this. It turns out they actually watch some tape. So they'll send a tight end out there. They'll send a tackle out there. So what you want to do is win on that guy's outside shoulder. You don't have to blow him up. You don't have to be stronger than him. When you're a safety, you're not trying to be, you know, big manly man, blow up a tackle. I mean, shoot, if you do that, that's awesome, right? But I just want you to be on like in a half man relationship with him, which means, you know, his outside shoulder's on my inside shoulder, and therefore my outside shoulder is there. And if a running back happens, I can disengage, or if a run comes out to that way, I can disengage and go find him. That's what the force needs to do. And a lot of times that requires a decent bit of physicality just to not get blown up, but that's all you're looking for. I just want you to not get totally exploded by a tackle. You can lose space, right? You can, squeeze it as much as you can, but when you're a safety as the force, if you can accomplish that job and, you know, be on the outside, force a running back to cut in, that is massive because it means I get to justify putting you in the box all the time. And the coolest thing is safeties that can do that. This is Harrison Smith. Safeties that can do that and then also can bail out and get deep really, really fast. With technique, there's kind of two different techniques that I'll look for when safeties are like on the line of scrimmage, when they're lining up in the box, when it's at a pass play. Some of them will just turn their hips immediately and bail out. Some of them have good enough backpedals where they can backpedal their way back into the depth that they need to be at. And they usually need to be at a decent amount of depth. So if they're lining up in the box a lot, that's a really good sign. I really like that. And you know, maybe the other safety, like it's not doing that is not necessarily a bad thing, right? If you are the free safety because you play on a team with a safety that's halfway built like a linebacker, and they want him in the run all the time, like that doesn't really reflect on you, right? But when I do see it, I love to say like that's a big positive for me when I do see it. And then there's also just stack and shed, right? This goes for linebackers a lot too. I mean, this is a way bigger thing with linebackers, but with linebackers, what I want to see is, and there's a lot of different ways to deal with a block, so this is by no means universal, but my favorite is when you could just see him lock, peek, shed. Or if they can just evade the block entirely, I like that too, but I feel like that's less sustainable. I always feel like that's like, all right, but you know, NFL O-linemen are a lot more agile than what you're dealing with right now, so will you be able to get away with this? That is the Brian Asamoah game plan, where if you're about to block him, he's going to try to like dip you. He's going to use pass rush moves. He's going to try to get by you. He's not going to let you be engaged. Jordan Hicks is a... I shouldn't say Jordan Hicks because everyone hates him. I should use different example. Anthony Barr. There you go. He's everybody. We're over our weird thing with him, right? We're back to understanding that he was really good. Jordan Hicks, Leo Chenault. There's one from last year who turned out really well. But he's a bigger linebacker, and they can lock peak shit. So that is, if a guard is coming up to you and you got to get past him, he's bigger than you. He's a guard. You're a linebacker. If you were bigger than him, you'd be on the D line. So I want to first lock it up. So I want you to get, you know, my hands are on your shoulders. Your hands are on my shoulders. We're locked. And then I want to kind of peek it outside where now my face can see, and then shed that block however you can, whether it's a swim, whether you're just doing like a little push pull or whatever. It's very similar to pass rush stuff. And I love to see that in kind of a, like a boom, boom, boom cadence, right? Lock them up, peek it, shed, get out of there, because the run game moves very, very, very fast. And then all I need to see from there is, can you tackle? Now that's way bigger for linebackers. For safeties, if you're a lock peak shedding on a guard and you're a safety, you're a psycho. That's completely insane. I never expect that. I'm much more used to seeing those guys be block evaders and kind of be dodging guards a little bit more, which, again, not that sustainable, but also if you're a safety, you're going up against a guard. I expect you to win 1 out of 10, right? Like, that's going to be just a mismatch. And it's already good for the play that a guard is dedicating his entire presence to stopping the safety. That usually means there's an advantage somewhere else. So I don't really need you to win there. But then it comes to tackling. And with safeties in particular, safeties are often coming in from an angle, right? And I'm assuming they found the right angle. So I want to see them attack the hips and kind of wrap up and take down. That's, you know, that the alligator thing is my favorite with safeties. A lot of safeties are like ankle divers, and that is very susceptible to missing. Some safeties are just missiles, and they just want to come in and hit. And a lot of guys will get really, really excited. I see a lot of like analysts get really, really excited at that safety come boom, like lay the wood. Whoa, he's super cool. I don't love seeing that in college as much, because to me, that's not somebody hitting with technique. That's somebody who just wants to light you up, and that's going to lead to penalties. It's unsafe. I don't like seeing that kind of thing. And it's also when you're coming in too hot, you know, when you're coming in really, really fast because you just want to light someone up, it looks awesome when you do it. It looks horrible when you miss. Because you're coming in so fast, you can't adjust. And that dude has a brain too. You know, the ball carrier gets paid too. He is going to try to juke you. And so you're going to kind of have to adjust. So I like to see safeties come in and break down a little bit. Not so much as like a punt gunner will on a punt where that you want them to come all the way to a stop while you wait for the ball to get caught. But, you know, I want to see a safety at least kind of let up on the gas a little bit and just go for the responsible tackle. I love seeing that with young players. It shows a certain amount of discipline, and in the long term, they're just going to miss less tackles that way. Lighting them up is great, sets the tone, love that, but it still only counts for a tackle the same way that a, you know, a wrap up alligator tackle will. All of this stuff with safety is very vague and loose. Everybody's got their own game. And when you watch a safety, you're going to find, all right, this dude's a missile. And he wants to come in and light you up. This dude's, you know, really, he's a block evader. He's not a shedder. That guy's a shedder, not a block evader. You know, this guy he's a free safety all the time. So he's playing a lot of middle third. You know, that guy's in a cover two system. He plays a lot. You're just going to find that these guys all have a different game, and it's all context that can then inform, okay, why did he give up that catch or what happened there? And you can be a little bit more, I guess, informed. You can have a much more tempered take on a safety that is much more practical when you understand the context in which it happens. I hope that helps with safeties. A lot of the same stuff when they're in man coverage applies to cornerbacks, but I just have lesser expectations for them, because I think if they were man cover guys, they wouldn't be safeties. But if they can do that stuff, that's great. And a lot of it is, how much stuff can you do? A safety that does the same thing over and over again, even if they do it well, is not nearly as exciting as somebody that kind of works in around the formation, does a little bit of everything. It's a Swiss Army knife position, and I want you to be a little bit versatile when you're doing it. So that's where I'm at with safety. Tomorrow is the big dog. We're talking quarterbacks tomorrow, and then that's the last one of this week, and then I'll be back live talking about whatever news I missed this week. I can't wait to find out what it is. It's Friday as I'm recording this, so we'll see what kind of crazy stuff happens in the week while I'm out of town. I will see you all tomorrow. Check out Locked On NFL Scouting. Check me out on patreon.com/LukeBruntNFL. And as always, Skol.